Let's bring in Ray Ferraro, and Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. How about Snoop on Saturday night?
What do you really expect?
That?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, were they just in the league offices going, oh, I can't believe he did that? Like, it wasn't Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Freaking Snoop, man. What do you think he's going to do?
The best part about it is it wasn't live on the mic. You know, like, it would be one thing if he got caught up in the moment and he's like, all right, I'm fired up. He pressed play.
Yeah, he had taped that.
He pressed play. Like, that cost them a lot of money for Snoop to come out and press I thought it saved the weekend. I think Snoop is this year's John Scott. I really do. It was hysterical. I couldn't stop watching it.
Oh, that's Dave. I guess you got to be. The weekend's got to be remembered for something.
Well, and I think Noodles was saying Chris Pronger was this year's Snoop.
Absolutely.
For laying out Bieber.
Yeah.
Would you do the same thing if you were out there?
Probably not. No. I mean, that's so Prongs, isn't it? Noodles? Like, you know, somewhere along the line, he's like, before this is over, I'll get a chance.
Yeah.
Like, guaranteed. Like, that's just so him.
You knew he was going to make his mark somehow. I mean, the locks of the century would be Gary Roberts getting into a fight at the alumni game and Chris Pronger running somebody in his game.
I think they should all be happy he didn't decide to put him at the tail end of that 5 feet of stick he carries around.
That's true.
That was every bit as possible, I think.
Imagine that. He, like, takes out Bieber's spleen or something with just
a picture, though, eh?
It's a perfect picture.
That's the best part of that.
Perfect picture.
I said to him after the game, I said, you just broke Twitter, because that was everywhere.
Everywhere.
It was unreal. The best part is he's smiling in the background. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, he did. He looked a little deranged,
yeah.
Which is just fine, which is just the way it should be.
Well, we've got Pronger on in about 20 minutes, and I want to ask him if Bieber gave the fake laugh or was he, like, actually mad? Because there's two options. He was probably mad anyway.
Right. You laugh it off and play like it's funny when deep down you're pissed.
Right. Or do you actually just say, I'm Bieber, you're Pronger. Like, what the hell are you doing? I'm out here having fun. Don't ever do that again. Not that Pronger would listen.
I think it would have been most enjoyable had he said something back and then Prongs just laid a cross check across his ribs.
Exactly. Because Bieber got into a fight about, 2 months ago in rec hockey.
Yeah, he was getting beaked or something, and I'm sure, you know, after a while, whether you like him or not, I'm sure that gets a little old.
Yeah.
So he got into some fight with some clown at rec hockey, and so. But yesterday, I mean, if he turns around as mad as he is, and he looks up and Pronger standing there, what's going to happen?
Exactly.
Ray, it was a big weekend for the celebration of the top 100 players. We were kind of just, we weren't chirping anybody, we weren't saying, but is there one player where you were like, man, I kind of think that's overlooking it? Or, I mean,
you know
you probably don't want to comment on that. It's about the guys that were kind of named to it. But for me,
right,
it's Malcolm.
I had 82 of the 100 on my list. And so, obviously, I had 18 guys on my list that didn't make it to the final vote. I had Malkin on my list. He obviously wasn't on enough of the voters' list to make it. I didn't have Billy Smith on mine. And then when I see him on the list, I go, well, that makes sense. Even though, like, guys, we got a 300-page or so PDF with information on all kinds of players. And some of the guys I voted for were in the first 40 years of the league. And you read them and you're like, oh my God, this guy led the league in goals 8 times in 9 years or 8 times in 10 years. And so, of course, I've never seen him play, but I'm like, that is really impressive. Well, I never saw Doug Harvey play or Eddie Shore play, but I voted for them too. So that was the hardest part for me about picking them. I had Malkin on my list. Didn't have Smith, didn't have Nieuwendyk. It was way harder to do than people might think. And then the other part of it is if you want to put someone on, you got to take somebody off. Like, it's not like there were people on there and you can go, oh my God, that guy should never be on. Like, it's a, I thought it was a fun exercise. And then you get some of these people, they're like, I don't know where the venom comes from. Is it really that important in their life that they've got to just completely snap? I guess so.
Well, and it wasn't even a ranking. You know, like, it's one thing if people are sitting there saying, how could you have Crosby 18th or something? You know, it was just 100 players thrown into a pot.
Could you imagine if there was a ranking?
Would have been very controversial, I guess.
Yeah. See, I think they did I think it was a really good idea. You know, it's the 100th year of the league. You get your 100 greatest players. The visual of them, as many as there were up on stage, I thought that was awesome. Of course, nobody's ever going to agree on any list. Any list of anything, people won't agree on it.
Right.
Ray, we were talking earlier, Brian had brought up some of his voting procedures. Like, how do you honestly vote for a person you'd never seen play? Can you take us through that, or what the process for you is?
Well, just on the information you have in front of you, right. And then you try and, you know, there were players that, when they retired, you know, albeit in the 30s, they were the top scorer. Nobody had more points in the 30-year history of the NHL than them when they retired. Now, they can't get any more points. They're retired. But Doug Harvey won the Norris Trophy, I think, 6 times in a row before Bobby Orr took it over. I never saw Bobby Orr play, or never saw Doug Harvey play, but I voted for him. And it's just on what people have said, what I've read, the information that's on this little packet that we get on each player, you know, 9-time All-Star, 6 Norris Trophies, you know, whatever it was. And so that's how I would make that evaluation. If it was the top 100 players since 1970 or 67, well, then I would have a way better opportunity to do that, because I would have seen at least a little bit of all of them. But when you're asked to research and make a decision on players that have passed away 50 years ago, I mean, it's difficult chore for sure. Yet they should still be recognized in the 100 greatest players because they were part of the league. It's like saying, what are you going to vote for? Just the 100 greatest players over 6 feet? I mean, like, these guys were in the league. They were not just okay performers. They were incredible performers at their time. And could they play today? Probably not. But at the time, that was the greatest the league had to offer. And so, in my opinion, they deserve that respect.
Yeah, you have to base it on the resume in front of you. And that's a segue into some of the news that actually came out of a fairly meaningless weekend. And there were a lot of players talking about the Olympic participation. And McDavid was the most outspoken and was really
Obviously, because he's like, you know what, this is finally my turn. I get to play with Sid. I get to put on this jersey and play with all these guys, and now you're telling me I can't?
Well, and that's right. And when you talk about the resumes, this is an angle that I had not thought of before until we kind of were just talking here and we were talking about the Olympics over the weekend.
Right.
If the players don't go to the Olympics, and people continue to look at the World Cup as more of a gimmick, you're taking away that potential resume maker or Hall of Fame credential from the current players.
We were talking about it before the show. We were like, this guy's got 2 cups, 2 gold medals. Like, we throw it in there all the time.
And if they don't go in 2018 or 2022, those are 2 teams that McDavid is guaranteed to be a part of that get taken away.
I want to throw this in here before, Ray, you chime in. It seemed to me that this was it was told to the players, like the gag order's taken off, like almost like the PA said to
Sid,
Taves, and to McDavid, like, head with this narrative or whatever, because it's a bargaining chip too as well, because they came out of, not out of left field, but they spoke their mind, and there were some pretty strong words there.
Yeah, not only as Noodles, I think that's the most important part of it. Not that they said, oh, we want to go. It was the way they said they want to go.
Exactly.
And this has really got the potential to get messy. Like, what happens next January if Ovechkin says, yeah, I am going?
I don't think he'll do that, yeah. Ray. I really don't.
I think he will. You don't think so? Like, just...
Do you not think the owner, the onus is just sat him down and said, look, can we talk about this before this gets stupid?
Like, well, I mean, that would be the conversation that has to be had, but what if he digs his heels in?
Yeah.
And then if he talks to half a dozen other guys who say, yeah, I want to go too. And they might be from Finland or Sweden or the U.S. Who knows?
This could be a storm. You're right. I think it could be a massive storm. But that's doesn't it get back to the PA and the league being proactive here? That's all I heard this weekend. It'd be nice to get a CBA hammered out. It'd be nice to get on the same page instead of constantly fighting about the color of the sky, like everything that's involved.
Well, I can't believe that they don't see the damage that gets done. And eventually how cynical fans who are major stakeholders in the game get about what happens each time there's a collective bargaining agreement. And now I think one thing that really is, you know, everybody's, if they were slow to the game realizing this about how business drives the whole deal. And so they don't want to go to Korea, but okay, we'll go to China though. And so it's easy to infer that it's not about disrupting the season. Because, you know, the games get put aside for 2 weeks in the NHL. It's about, we don't think we can make enough revenue and get enough goodwill payback from going to South Korea. So, but we can in China. And so it makes the whole thing, to me, start to get greasy dirty, like business dirty, that people don't even want to hear about it anymore. Go, don't go. If you don't go, they're going to be upset. If you go, people will be thrilled.
Well,
I think the people that are, you know, have kicked the most fuss up are not sponsors, are not fans. It's the owners who don't want those February days to drop off their calendar.
Not to mention in 2026, it's more than likely coming back to North America. So let's say it's in Chicago in 2026. You don't think the NHL is going to want to be there? Of course they are.
Right.
But another sticky point here is the connection that the NHL has with two hockey nations in particular and hockey federations compared to the other ones around the world. And that would be Hockey Canada and USA Hockey, where I don't get the impression like the Russian Hockey Federation would really care if the NHL got pissed off at them by allowing Ovechkin to be on the team or Malkin to be on the team. I'm not so convinced it's going to be as easy as Sid saying, well, I'm going, and Hockey Canada saying, great, here's a spot.
Right.
Because the NHL and Hockey Canada are in bed together too. Like, they got connections too. So, like, the politics of all this is very layered. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, there's no one answer. There's no one road to look at, is there, and go, oh, yeah, this is exactly, I can see it clear. It's so interwoven and...
Right. Like, what happens if Sid... Like, Ovechkin says, I'm going. I don't care. The NHL decides that they're not going collectively, but Ovechkin goes.
Yeah.
He's playing for Russia. Russia's holding a spot for him. What if Sid goes public and says, you know what, I'm going too, but Hockey Canada says, we got too much invested in the NHL. Sorry, Sid, you don't have a spot. We're not letting you break the rules.
Right.
Sorry, the NHL players aren't coming. You're not going rogue. We're not going to allow that to happen.
Do you think that would happen?
I don't know. Maybe. Like, Sidney Crosby's not bigger than the NHL.
No, and especially
Hockey Canada's got a long history with the National
that
Hockey
relationship,
League.
But you're right.
NHL says we're not going. I could see Hockey Canada saying, sorry, Sid, you're not coming. You're not playing for
then
us.
Then it's up to Sid to lean on the PA then and say, get your act together here. Let's sort this out.
The one thing I would say, you know, we've all been in those players' association meetings, and some guys are really engaged and some guys aren't, but I've yet to see anybody really put their weight in a conflicting position.
No. It's 25 under at the no balls open.
It's happened in other sports. I don't know necessarily that the guys in our sport really, really do it.
Right.
You know, so as far as Sid, and this is It's just my observation. I mean, I can't imagine he's going to say, yeah, the hell with it, I'm gone.
I don't see that in his DNA either. But I I do understand, again, McDavid got screwed over at the World Cup because he had to play on that stupid under-23 team as opposed to playing for Canada, which is where he would have been playing. He would have made that team.
The best thing is if there's another World Cup, you'll get to play for them again.
Right. Well, that's the one thing, again, I would say and I argued at the time, is if you're not going to the Olympics, you better make the World Cup legitimate. You better get rid of Team Europe, get rid of the under-23 team.
Right.
Make it an eight-country tournament and make it feel as if it is best on best playing as close to...
Cut the garbage out.
Yeah, cut the garbage out. Don't make it about marketing and making money and jacking prices. Make it about the prize. Make it feel like what the Canada Cup used to be.
But, okay, but here's one thing I will say about that versus the Olympics is people that don't watch hockey watch the gold medal game. In the Olympics.
Right.
They don't watch the gold medal game, or well, it's not the gold medal. They don't watch the championship game of the World Cup if they're not hockey fans. You're already preaching to the choir. The Olympics does get to people that never see the sport. And maybe you make a connective, you make a connection to a group of people or a fan base that's untapped. Isn't that what they're really all about?
I'm on board with them going to the Olympics. I mean, ultimately, it won't be the same experience for us over here in South Korea or in China because the games are going to be on at like 3 in the morning. It'll be like the Aussie Open. It's very difficult for people in North America to really jump on board.
Very, because you're just out of touch with it.
You're not waking up at 2:30 in the morning to watch a game. You're just not going to do it. But I think if the players want to go, if it's going to help internationally, again, I'm just looking at it from a player's perspective. I understand why McDavid wants to say at the end of his career, I want two Olympic golds, or I want this, that, or the other, because all the players before him have had opportunities to play in these big tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not the Olympics, then prior to that, it was the World Cup in 96, Canada Cup in 91, 87. Go down the list. Every great player has had an opportunity to play in those major tournaments.
You know, it was funny, though, if you can go back to 98, and, you know, I was playing, I remember when the players... You know, when it was decided the NHL players would go to the Olympics, there was debate over whether this was a good thing or not. Way back, you know, hey, should they go? Should they disrupt the season? Then they went, and of course, it was in Japan. I mean, I remember getting up; it was like 6 a.m. to watch the gold medal game, and it was amazing. And so, instantly, that was the tournament, but. People weren't even on, you know, because it had never been. And now that we've seen it, that's what we want to see. Outside of the 2 weeks that the season delays games, because it's not like they take those games away and the owners lose the revenue on them. They just delay the games. But outside of that, I can't think of another reason why they shouldn't be there. Because it's the best. It's the best hockey we can see.
All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow. Start teeing up the unofficial second half of the Maple Leafs in Dallas tomorrow night.
It's going to be interesting to watch these teams come back from this. Doesn't it seem like everybody's just gone away forever?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, rev it back up.
Yeah.
That first practice after the All-Star break is usually like everybody's got handcuffs on.
Terrible. Yeah. League-wide, though, everyone's got it.
Yeah. Wow, we're worse than them. Generally what you say.
Well, let's hope for the Leafs' sake tomorrow night.
Okay, boys, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, man. Ray Ferraro and Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca.